The Sports Debacle is a frank and open discussion between adults about sports and other pop culture subjects. Discretion is advised.
It's time for another edition of the Sports Debacle with a guy who once yelled obscenities at Jose Guillen in Spanish. Here's Justin McIsaac.
All right, an action-packed edition of the Debacle today. Not one, but two guests. My only two guests, actually. Actually, we have three guests. This is amazing. A red-letter day. Kate's not going to talk. Joining me in studio, our first ever guest, of course, D. Edward Rondo. Dan, thanks for coming in.
Anytime.
Joining us on the no-name hotline, my spouse and life partner, Renee McIsaac. Renee, thanks for being here.
Hey, how are you doing?
All right. Everything's working. I can't believe this.
I almost get a name confident for that hotline.
Well, we have to get a sponsor. And I could just start saying it's the Papa Gino's hotline, but then, they're not going to give me any money, so why should I give them a plug?
Okay.
They start fronting the cash. I mean, Rich made some lame, you know what? The Fat Squad will start sponsoring you. He's not going to give me any money.
No.
He doesn't have any money.
What do you need money for?
I'm in this to make money, Dan.
Okay.
I don't know what you're here for.
But I got nothing else to do.
I'm in it to make money.
Okay.
I don't have anything else to do either. So it is a very special edition of the Debacle. Today is the MLB prediction episode where we make wildly accurate predictions that will look foolish by May.
May?
Yes.
Next week.
Okay. For the first week of the season. Renee has done lots of research, she has told me, and is now locked in a room without a computer, so that has all gone for naught. Dan has done no research. I have done minimal research. So this should be something else. Dan was just telling...
Basically, it's going to be full of opinions and no facts.
Well, it'll be just like regular sports talk radio then. You ever listen to WEEI?
Yeah. Well, my opinions are completely unreasonable, so it's really going to be like EEI.
It'll be much less racist, though. So Dan was just telling me, Renee, that he has no third baseman on his fantasy team. He's looking at his fantasy team. Is this the first time you've looked at it since we drafted?
Yeah, I wasn't there for the draft, and now I'm looking, and no third baseman and five pitchers on the DL. So I quit.
Well, luckily for you, it's an AL-only league, so it's easy to find lots of pitchers.
Yeah, and in regards to the third baseman issue, I think there are a shortage of real good third basemen in the American League this year. So, there are some good guys out there, but not a lot. And that's one of the reasons why on my fantasy baseball team, I have Nomar playing third.
Oof.
I don't even care if he's good.
Hey,
I just need a body.
Than nothing.
Is he better than nothing, though?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's going to play 60 games, though, and then he's going to get hurt. He's going to go on the DL, and he'll have to have an added dictomy so he can get better. I'll give you a second on that one.
I think I'm going to have to go with Eric Chavez.
Oosh. Is he even playing?
I had him last year.
It's the best that's here. It really is.
Egad. If you looked, you know how the stuff usually looks like the bridge of the Enterprise, Renee, when you look at it?
Yeah.
It's worse right now. I have 50. I have like the sources. I have the satellite feeds window open. I have other stuff. I have stuff I just figured out what it was today open. So we'll see what
don't
happens.
Crash it.
What's that?
Don't crash it.
I'm not going to make any promises. I might come home unemployed.
Hey, that wouldn't be the first time.
No, that's true.
Ouch.
You know what?
It wouldn't be the second time.
It wouldn't be the second time. No, yes, it would.
No.
What are you talking about? I got fired from Unicell.
And the last job you had.
What? Sears?
No.
No.
Oh, Sears.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I did get fired from there. I kind of blocked that out of my mind.
Yeah.
All right, then. So our show focuses on baseball today. I have my predictions ready. Well, what I asked the panel to do today was kind of go see who's going to win each division, who will make the playoffs, what the MVP and Cy Young will be. And you don't have to. We're not going to order the divisions because I don't know where the Pirates are going to finish. Are they going to finish sixth or are they going to finish fifth? We know they're going to suck. That's what's important. But we're trying to predict winners and award winners and trying to sound smart. And sometimes that doesn't always work out, but we're going to give it a crack anyway. So, Dan, did you write anything down yet, or are you still looking?
I'm still looking. I need a minute.
All right, we're going to start in the NL West, which is a division that does not matter. Well, it matters for one reason. And I don't know if anybody knows what that reason is.
I do.
What's that reason, Renee?
Because in the West, you have the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, and I think those are two competitive teams.
No, that's not even, you're going too far. There's only one reason the NL West matters.
Manny Ramirez?
Manny Ramirez. The greatest player in the history of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Jackie Robinson, step aside. See, I'm just at this point, Dan, I'm just trying to get hate mail. Dan made a face at that.
Yeah.
So I like the Dodgers. They have pitching I've never heard of. Their bullpen is probably suspect, but every other team in that division sucks. So I think Manny is enough.
Okay, so you don't think that the Diamondbacks are going to compete?
Why would the Diamondbacks compete?
Because I think that they have a fairly decent team.
Okay, who's decent that plays for the Diamondbacks this year? Who's any good?
Well, their starting pitcher, Webb.
Okay, does he play every day?
Okay.
So every fifth day they're okay. Who else plays for the Diamondbacks that's good?
Well, let's see.
Stephen Drew?
Whoever told you that you could work with men?
No, not Stephen Drew.
There's one name I'm waiting to hear from Renee.
Uh-oh.
I know. Well, you know what, though? I did come around. I'll have to say I've come around on Eric Burns. I no longer hate the man.
Eric Burns is a quality player.
He had an excellent year last year, and I'm hoping that he will keep that up.
Not only that, but who would you rather have on your team? Would you rather have Eric Burns for, what is he making, $8 million this year? Not even? Or would you rather have...
You can act like a man!
J.D. Drew.
I'd rather have Eric Burns.
See, exactly. Exactly my point. But I don't think it matters. I like the Dodgers. I like the Dodgers by 10 games.
10 games?
10 games. That division's terrible!
Arizona does have some good
players. I do agree in that I'm taking the Dodgers to take that division.
I think the only way Arizona keeps pace is if, and I guess this is possible, if they just thump on Colorado and, I can't even remember the other team in the NL West.
San Francisco, San Diego.
Okay, San Diego. So I actually did order these. So I actually have the Dodgers coming in first, the Diamondbacks behind them, followed by the Rockies, the Padres, and the Giants.
Okay. So despite Tim Lincecum's terrific commercials, you're not that big on the Giants.
No.
Randy Johnson, Renee? He's your boy.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to do that great this year. Hey, well, beginning of the season hasn't started, so...
It doesn't matter. When you're making baseball predictions, the whole thing about being in the media is you make absolute concrete predictions based on no evidence.
Right.
And that's what we have to do.
Them last.
So you don't say, oh, I don't know. You say, this is what happens, even though I have nothing to back it up with. If you're going to be successful in the media, that's what you have to do.
Okay.
Man, the Dodgers really have no pitching.
Yeah, but nobody else has any pitching either. Hold on, let me bring up the Dodgers.
I'm looking at the roster here, and the only name that sticks out to me is Jason Schmidt, and
Well, he's always hurt, but they.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They have the Hunshi Kuo, right? He's one of their starters.
Yeah,
he's good. Okay. He's good when he's on, and they have a bunch of kids. Yeah. But they
Chad Billingsley.
Billingsley is very good. Randy Wolf is always like solid. Randy Wolf is a Tim Wakefield type. He sneaks up on you. He's always like 13 wins, 4.5 ERA. Okay. He's good enough for like a third or fourth, especially in the National League, which is really quadruple A.
I like their position players.
I think they have a really good infield.
They do, and you can't really, you can't disregard the Torrey factor. The guy makes something out of nothing.
Right.
I mean, who do the Yankees have for pitchers 2 years ago?
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. Manny Ramirez makes that lineup so much better. Like, Casey Blake starts to hit. Orlando Hudson can do his thing. I think James Loney's going to break out. Russell Martin's the best catcher in the National League.
Juan Pierre leading off for them?
I don't have their lineup. I think Juan Pierre's riding the bench finally.
Really?
Because their outfield's going to be Ethier in right, Manny in left, and Matt Kemp in center.
Matt Kemp, yeah.
So, Juan Pierre's another one of their $8 million mistakes.
Yeah, but he's fast as lightning.
Doesn't matter.
If you get him on base, I mean...
Can't steal first base, Danny.
That's true. Can't.
So, Dan, who are you going with in the National League West?
In the West? Yeah. I have to go with the Dodgers. As much as I think their pitching is suspect, and it really, really is, they do have some pop in the lineup.
All right, so everybody agrees the Dodgers are your 2009 National League West champions. Might as well not even play the season out there. Okay, moving on to the Central. I'm going to go with the Chicago Cubs this year. And here's why. Nobody else out there is any good either. The Chicago, I mean, last year they should have won. I don't know what, they really should have beat the Dodgers in the first round. And I don't know what happened to them. Their rotation is solid. Zambrano, Dempster, Harden, Lilly, and I don't know who Sean Marshall is. But they're 1-4, they're pretty good.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I was just going to say Tim Kirchen picked them.
Tim Kirchen, best Armenian baseball host in the media.
Yeah, he picked them to win the division, and he thinks they're going to the World Series this year.
There's nobody in that division.
There's really not.
Milwaukee.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to take the Reds.
Why are you taking the Reds? Oh, I know why you're taking the Reds.
Because I have a love affair with the Cincinnati Reds. Can't really explain it, but I do.
Hey, would you name the Cincinnati Red for us?
Well, okay, so they've got a Brandon Phillips at second, who I like quite a bit.
Yeah.
They've got Harang as their starter. They also have Bronson Arroyo.
That's your boyfriend, right? Bronson Arroyo?
There's a special place in my heart for him.
Okay, their pitching's pretty good now that I'm looking at it.
They've got that other kid there.
Edison
Cueto.
No, Edison Volquez is the really good one. Johnny Cueto is the one that is supposed to be really good but kind of tapered off last year.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've got Harang, Volquez, Arroyo, Cueto, Johnny Owings, and Bailey as their starting pitchers.
Their offense doesn't look that great, though.
Not at all.
There's no pop. I mean, they play in that little bandbox, and who's going to hit home runs in that lineup?
Okay, wait a second. We're talking about the National League, though.
Yeah, but you still have to hit home runs at some point.
Yeah, but, I think that, you're not going to get huge offense in the NL.
What I'm saying is that pitching's great, but in that ballpark, you're going to have to score some runs because as good as their pitching is, you're going to get those stupid little pop fly home runs in that gay little league outfield.
Is that the Great American Ballpark?
Yeah. So I guess with their pitch, if their pitching stays healthy, they can make a run at it. But I don't see anybody beating the Cubs.
No way. Nobody's going to beat the Cubs.
Despite your love affair with Bronson Arroyo, which still baffles me.
Well, we will just see now, will we?
Actually, that makes me feel good because if you can be in love with a guy as ugly as him, I mean, that explains why you married me. Although he has money, and that makes him better looking. Like if I had Bronson Arroyo's money, I would look like Brad Pitt.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Yeah, you would. If I had $12 million on the console right here, Kate's looking at me like, yeah, he'd be hot. See what I'm saying? Okay, so, Dan, did you make a pick in the National League Central?
It has to be Chicago. There's nobody else in that division. I mean, Milwaukee won the wild card last year, but that was only because of Sabathia.
And that was it.
Yeah, I mean, with him gone, Houston, St. Louis, Cincy, and Pittsburgh, no.
Now, does anybody else subscribe to my theory that Milwaukee pitched Sabathia so hard last year because they knew they weren't going to re-sign him?
Oh, absolutely. Why would he re-sign in Milwaukee?
Well, they made him like a decent offer that they knew the Yankees were going to top. But he was in the middle of like 9-1 ball games at 130 pitches. They're like, yeah, CeCe, why don't you go out there for the ninth? It's fine. Go ahead.
They definitely weren't protecting him.
Can you imagine being a fan of a team like that, though, that they know they're not going to spend the money? Like, how could you even be a fan?
Well, here's why you could be a fan, and we found this out in Toronto, because you can afford to go to the stupid games.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Absolutely.
We have the most consistent team in the league as far as making the playoffs. We can't go to a game.
No. Not at all.
We get to watch
a game. I had to go to New York this year to go to a game.
You had to go to the most ridiculously overpriced ballpark in baseball to get a seat.
And I paid $75 for $25 tickets.
But you get to go.
It's cheaper than it would have cost me to get into Fenway. So.
Exactly. Kate was so disgusted with this conversation, she left the room. Oh, she's on the phone. Okay, so Dan's picking the Cubs. I'm picking the Cubs. I was going to write this down, but we have it all on tape, so I don't need to. Or digital tape, I suppose. To the National League East.
Ones and zeros.
What? Ones and zeros?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like the Matrix. Mm. Hold on. like the Matrix. Yes, I still have that. To the National League East, I am going to go this year. This was tough, only because I think eventually the Mets have to win this stupid thing, right? But I'm still going to go. I'm still going to go with the Phillies because they kept their team intact. I think Raul Ibanez is an underrated signing. He's always a guy you forget about. But he always puts up good numbers. He's always good for 25 and 100 as far as home runs and RBI. And I don't see them tailing off at all.
See, I'm torn. I want to cheer for the Mets. I'd like to see them actually to win the division, mainly because I'm a big fan of Alex Cora. However,
oh God, it's an Alex Cora love-in today.
However,
on the debacle.
They just signed Gary Sheffield, and I don't think I can ever cheer for a team that has Gary Sheffield.
Clubhouse cancer, Gary Sheffield.
Yeah,
that's Renee's boy.
Well, I think I pretty much agree with Dan on this point. I initially was going to pick the Mets, but I looked closer at the lineups here. And so I am picking the Phillies to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Mets are going to be right there with them, so it's going to be close. And I so much want to root for the Mets, but I really think the Phillies are going to win the division.
Okay, if you can bring I don't know if you remember what Jason Worth looks like. Dan, if you can bring him up on your screen. Is Jason Worth an alien? I think is an important question to ask.
He's a Philly, right?
Yeah. Because that's not a really good picture, but his eyes are so far apart. It's like I was watching on the Discovery Channel. Like if you're a prey, you have your eyes on the side of your head so you can watch out for the predators.
Exactly.
He's kind of like a gazelle because his eyes are right above his ears.
Oh, that's great.
He is a funny looking dude.
He is an ugly, ugly man. Yeah.
And he had the wild hair going last year. There was a million things wrong with him.
Yeah. No, he definitely goes on our ugly team.
Yeah. We'll have to fill out lineups for that at some point for the all ugly team. And by the way, just getting off topic for a second, who was it that I saw that was Delonte West, who plays for the Cavs? He's played for the Celtics. He might forget about sports. He might be the ugliest person on planet Earth.
And his tattoos do nothing for him.
He has the worst tattoos. Yeah. He goes to a blind, retarded tattoo artist. He's just like, give me this. Okay. And he uses his cane to find Delonte's neck, and he just puts whatever on there.
Yeah, they're terrible.
God awful.
They're really, really bad.
So he'd be the all universe ugly team. He'd take on the aliens and ugliness. But Jason Worth, quality bench player on the ugly team. Renee, you have no thoughts on Jason Worth?
At the moment, I can't really think of what he looks like. So
ugly.
I'll pull up the pick later.
The only questions I have with Philadelphia is their rotation. That Cole Hamels solid, Brett Myers he's fine. Joe Blanton, this just proves to you how bad the National League is because I think he was about 3-15 with the A's.
Yeah,
and the Phillies traded for him and I think he did okay after that. It was like the Phillies said, I think anytime you can trade for the worst pitcher in the American League, you have to make that trade. Because he'll be fine in the National League.
They've also got Jamie Moore, whose age is getting up there with his uniform number.
Jamie Moore will be fine as long as he doesn't have a stroke. Or as long as he doesn't develop Parkinson's disease.
Wow, he's 47 years old. That blows me away.
And they signed him to a 2-year contract. How do you think that negotiation went?
Yeah.
Like Jamie Moyer and his agent sit down, you know, he comes in with his walker. He's like, now listen, I want 6 years. Like, 6 years? You're not going to be alive in 6 years. We're going to give you 1 year. All right, fine. I'll take 5 years. And I'll tell you what, Branch Rickey wasn't this bad of a negotiator. And then eventually they said, okay, fine, Jamie, here's 2 years, whatever. We're printing money. But how do you give us? My only regret is that Julio Franco, is that who I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
Julio Franco isn't still playing to face Jamie Moyer in the oldest at-bat in the history of Major League Baseball.
Wow.
That's the right guy, right, Renee?
It is.
Yeah, he was, what, 49?
He was right up there.
He was probably older because all the Dominican and Hispanic guys lie about their age. So he
True,
was,
but I'm pretty sure he didn't pass the 50 mark.
No, but
he may have.
I think he was probably 56, and he was just saying he was 49.
Baseball Reference has his date of birth as August 23rd, 1958.
Who's this?
Julio Franco.
No, that's a lie.
1958. He retired in 2007.
Yeah, I'll tell you who the worst liar about that is of all time is Edgar Renteria. There's no way Edgar Renteria is only 31 right now, or however old he's saying he is.
Yeah, he's been around for quite a while.
Because they said he was 28 when he signed with the Red Sox, and he moved like Cool Papa Bell out there, only if Cool Papa Bell was alive right now. Cool Papa Bell, for all the people that listen to us that don't know anything about sports, was a Negro League player, so he'd be about 110 at this point.
1975. There's no way that guy is only three years older than me.
There's no chance. He's awful. Okay, so I have, as my wild card winner in the National League, I have the Mets taking the wild card. Because I think their talent is so good, they can't choke every year, can they?
I thought that last year. They can't choke every year, can they? And they did.
Here's their.
We do say that frequently, but I do think that they will win the wild card.
Well, we used to say that about the Red Sox, and finally they didn't choke.
Right. But, I mean, I'm looking at the entire list of National League teams, and you know, other than the three winners that we picked for divisions, nobody other than New York really can win the wild card. I mean, Milwaukee's not going to for sure.
Right.
Arizona doesn't have the depth. Mm-hmm. It's got to be the Mets.
I think everybody stinks in the National League except for the four teams I picked to win playoff spots. I think everybody else has just got awful.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking L.A., Chicago, New York, and Philly, right?
Right. I mean, I think Florida's okay. They're just too young.
Oh, absolutely.
They're pitching okay. I mean, if Anibal Sanchez comes back, they're solid in the rotation. But and Hanley Ramirez, by the way, I don't know if you read this, Dan, demanded, I told Renee about this, demanded to be traded over, the manager came in, Freddie Sanchez, and all of a sudden instituted the Yankee policy of no facial hair, no long hair.
Okay.
Like, just one day, and I just lost his name.
Hanley Ramirez.
I slept 5 hours last week.
That's fine.
Out of 5 days. Hanley Ramirez demanded a trade on the spot. He said, and I'll bleep this, he said, "This is bullshit. I'm out of here. I want a trade." And stormed out. And then like, in front of all the beat reporters and everything.
He doesn't have that much facial hair. He's got a little dirt stash.
Yeah.
And then he's got a little, like, underneath the chin, little patch. I mean, it's not like the guy has a beard.
I know, but he flipped. And then, like,
he has an attitude problem. That's why the Red Sox
has an attitude problem because he's playing in Florida. I would have an attitude problem as well. That team is terrible.
But they said that's one of the reasons they were willing to trade him for Beckett and Lowell is because he kind of, when he was in Portland, he was kind of a dickhead.
He was in Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
But still, you know how they are with stuff like that. Plus, if you notice, not a whole lot of black and only a couple of Dominican guys playing for the Sox now. They like it. They like it lily white these days.
Yeah.
It's like Tom Yawkey rebought the team from the grave. What are all these darkies doing on my team? If I had Dixie, I'd play in the background. I'll
Okay, but you know what? That's not a fair statement.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
There are
not a lot of black players in all of the major leagues.
Okay, name the number of black guys playing for the Red Sox this year, Renee.
Are we talking black guys or are we talking non-white guys? African-American?
Yeah.
Okay, but now, how many are there in the major leagues?
I don't know. I'm talking about the Boston Red Sox. How many black guys playing for the Boston Red Sox this season?
Zero.
You are correct. So I'm sorry, Grand Dragon Renee. You can stick up for the Red Sox all you want, but I think there's a thing going on. Kate's laughing at the fact that I called you Grand Dragon Renee.
Yeah, yeah.
You've always had a thing against the blacks. Let's face it.
I'm just Grand Master.
Moving on. Okay, I'm sorry, yeah. Renee. Who's your pick for the wild card?
In the
National League.
Yeah. I already said the Mets.
You did say the Mets. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Danny, it's got to be the Mets, right?
For the wild card?
Yeah.
I think it's the Phillies because I'm picking the Mets to win the division.
Oh, you are. Okay. Yeah. So Phillies, Mets, but you're saying they both get in.
Right.
Okay. So we have the National League set.
Yeah, I'm looking at Boston's roster here.
How many non-white guys? The wrong
team is named the White Sox. I think it should be Boston.
Let's sidetrack for a second.
They're all white and Japanese.
That's
except for Ortiz.
There's David Ortiz. How many? Okay, Manny Del Carmen is Hispanic.
Javi Lopez.
Javi Lopez, kinda. Javi Lopez looks like a white guy. Oh, look, Rocco Baldelli. What's that?
Lowell.
He's Puerto Rican, but I mean, he doesn't like they subscribe to the thing where like black people have a thing where like the light skinned people and the black skinned people kind of feud. I think that's what the Red Sox are doing with all their Dominican guys and Hispanic guys. They won't take them unless they're light skinned.
Lopez is Puerto Rican as well.
Yeah, see? See what I'm saying? Let's review, shall we, Renee? Their bench players, George Gutierrez, he's Greek. Chris Carter, that's pretty white. Jed, anybody named Jed is as white as you can get. Nick Green. Nick Green, white guy. Rocco, he's a solid white guy.
Dustin, Kevin.
JD. Jason. Not only do they have white guys, they have the whitest white guys you can find.
Yep.
Now, Theo Epstein, as a Jew, should know about being persecuted. And the Jews don't really get along with the blacks, do they? Or am I mistaken on that?
I'm not sure. There has to be some. I mean,
Renee, you're the grand wizard. What do you have to say about it?
I think you're being ridiculous and need to find a new topic.
Renee, what's worse, a black guy or a Jew? In your opinion.
She's going to hang up.
All right. I'm sorry, hon. I'm just saying, I think the Red Sox should make not at the expense of talent.
They should sign players that aren't good only because they're black.
I was saying, I think that if they look at two players that are equal, they take the white guy. That's all. Because they got rid of Alex Cora.
You really think this?
Alex Cora is at least as good
as
Nick Green.
He's just trying to stir up a storm.
Whoa! Renee getting bleeped for the first time on the debacle. All right, when we come back, we're going to pause, even though you won't notice it, people at home in internet land. We're going to pause for a second. I got some business to take care of. We'll be right back with the MVP Cy Young winner of the National League, and we'll start on the American League. So we'll be right back on the debacle. And my voice is going to break. All right, and we're back. Not that you knew anything about it, but when we last left you, we were going to discuss the MVPs and the Cy Young Award winners for the National League, the inferior league. It's kind of like winning a gold medal at the Special Olympics. For the MVP, I'm selecting the one, the only, Manny Ramirez from the Los Angeles Dodgers. I predict Manny will hit somewhere in the neighborhood of 375, 55 home runs, 160 RBI. I think he's absolutely going to destroy the National League. What say you, panel? Renee, are you there? Okay.
Yeah, I am here. I'll have to agree that as long as Manny decides that he does want to play, that probably will take that.
Well, as long as people aren't trying to burn crosses on his lawn, like I imagine the Red Sox were. No, I think Manny's, well, they only gave him a 2-year contract, so he's probably going to stay motivated. He has to behave. And the inferior pitching in the National League, plus, you know, he's on honeymoon right now. I just think he's going to be a monster in the good sense, not in the try and kill the traveling secretary sense.
Well, the 86-year-old traveling secretary, or however the hell old he was.
The one problem is that is a logical argument, but Manny is not always logical.
He does defy logic.
I mean, that seems likely that he would be a huge success, but there's always an unexplained factor.
I don't know if you guys saw this, Ryan Braun of the Brewers yesterday. They played an exhibition game at Dodger Stadium. He says he swore in the fifth inning, because Manny got done in the third inning. He says he swore he saw Manny go into the left field stands and sit with the crowd.
Really?
Go out and just hang out with people. which might be my favorite Manny story. Oh, Renee, come on. You got to get the kids out of there.
Yeah, I'm running silly. Come on. I have to do this. Come on. Stop. Come on.
Daddy will beat me if I don't do his podcast. You got to get in the other room.
Come on.
Dan, who is your National League MVP this year?
I'm going to go way out on a limb here.
Uh-oh.
All right. I'm going to take Fukudomi. I think after a year of getting used to the game over here and getting used to the, you know, the National League pitchers, which we all know are top-notch, I really think he's going to dial it in this year, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people.
That's a real roll of the dice.
Yeah.
You got some big balls for picking Kosuke Fukudomi.
Yep.
Who the
mark my words.
We have. They are digitally marked down for life. So, the Cy Young Award winner. Dan and I were discussing this while we were waiting for NASCAR to wrap up. I'm going to go with Johan Santana.
no fair. That's who I was going
to
pick.
Well, it's not like we have to. It's not like a fantasy draft, hon. You can pick him, too. He's not just mine forever.
Yeah, I know.
Yoan Santana, I mean, he was great in the American League. He should be better in the National League. Was last year his first year or second year in the National League? I can't recall.
Second, I believe.
Yeah. I think this is the year he dominates. I know Lincecum is a monster, and he does really good commercials. Cole Hamels for the Phillies, of course, is great. Jake Peavy when he stays healthy, although we did see him get destroyed by the Puerto Rican national team in the WBC. Or was that Ben Sheets? No, that was Peavy.
That was Peavy. Yep. Yeah, he was terrible.
So I'm going to go with Yoan. Renee, you agree?
Yep.
All right. I'm going to stick with the Cubs here. I'm going to go with Zambrano.
Zambrano.
I think he's going to get it completely together this year. 22 wins.
I'm also predicting 10 home runs hit from Carlos Zambrano. Well, as the National League pennant winner, I'm going to select... Hold on a second here. I thought I had a... Yeah. My National League champion this year, the New York Mets. I'm taking the Mets to win it all. That's right.
I can't agree. I think they're going to lose again in the NLCS. I really do.
In the NLCS, another heartbreak for the Mets.
Another heartbreak. Yeah, I think it's going to be the Cubs. I really do.
I just think they have. I think.
I thought it was going to be the Cubs last year too. So, you know,
Renee, what do you think?
I feel like we say that all the time with the Cubs. I'm actually going to stick with the Dodgers on this one.
Renee going with, in spite of her hatred for Manny Ramirez, going with the Dodgers. No, I think the reason people pick the Cubs is just it would be fantastic to see the Cubs in the World Series. The 2003 World Series should have been the best World Series of all time. Should have been the Cubs and the Red Sox, and of course, Armageddon would have happened, so nobody could have won, but fate intervened. I think it was Cameron's fault for being born.
Way to go.
There was that one year where he cursed the Red Sox. You remember?
Can you imagine how different...
I still disagree with that. that he cursed them.
Well, I'll explain this in a minute.
He's been good luck.
I'll explain this in a second, but what were you going to say, Dan?
I was just thinking how different the Red Sox would have been the last 6 years if they had won the World Series in 2003.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Like we talked about before.
Well, if they had lost in 2004, yeah, I think they would have blown it.
I'm talking about if they had won in 2003.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, obviously, we wouldn't have got Schilling.
Right.
We wouldn't have got, really, a lot of
Keith
guys.
Folk.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Beckett wouldn't have been probably the same guy. You know, all the mystique he built up by beating the Yankees, you know, in Yankee Stadium.
Exactly.
It's crazy how different it would be.
Yeah. Here's why Cameron cursed the Red Sox for one entire year. If you'll recall, Cameron born October 16th, 2003, the same day as the fateful Aaron Boone home run. Aaron Boone, who is undergoing heart surgery, by the way, and I hope he dies on the table. I'm still not over that. Born the 16th, that's the day they lost the pennant. The next year, the 16th of October, 2004, do you recall what happened that day, Dan?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yankees 18, Red Sox 8. Or Yankees 19, Red Sox 8.
Yeah, 19-8.
So I think we had to endure one year, and Cameron was like, I don't know, he was sort of the gatekeeper for our misery as Red Sox fans. And then once we got through that, we were okay. But I won't lie to you, Renee. I did think about sacrificing the boy for the good of the team.
Yeah, I know you did. But I still maintain, I don't think that he was bad luck for them.
All right. Well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree.
It's weird how facts would completely prove you wrong. But
I know, Renee. If you look at the empirical evidence.
Well, what are facts?
Clearly the boy was a curse.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that no facts actually being used in this argument.
You know what we're going to have to do? Judges, is Renee correct? Oh, I'm sorry, Renee. It never stops being funny. All right, moving on to the Superior League, the American League. We'll start in the AL West, where I'm going to make a controversial pick here.
No, here we go.
I'm going to say, now everybody always picks the Angels because every year they're good. I'm going to say this year the Angels are going to stink because right now they have no pitching. Big Fat John Lackey's hurt. Irvin Santana's hurt. Who else do they have? Jared Weaver's their number one right now. He stinks. Here's the bottom three of the Angels' rotation as it stands right now. Dustin Mosley, you ever heard of him?
No.
Nick Anderhart. Never heard of him.
Nope.
Shane Lou, L-O-U-X. Who the hell are those guys? Brian Fuentes as their closer? Fuentes? I'm going to say your champion this year, the AL West, the Texas Rangers.
Texas Rangers.
The Texas Rangers. And here's why. Take a look at their lineup.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Their lineup is fantastic. Jared Saltalamacchia as their catcher. Bounce back year from Michael Young. Ian Kinsler, solid. Elvis Andrews. I don't know much about Elvis Andrews, but how can you root against a guy named Elvis? You just can't. Their outfield is solid. Murphy's
Jones
in left. Josh Hamilton off the crack. Nelson Cruz in right.
Andrew Jones.
Now, they do run into a stumbling at Andrew Jones. Let's see if he can hit over his weight this year. Now, their pitching doesn't look all
right. He weighs in at 240. I don't know, man.
He doesn't. If he weighs 240, then I weigh a buck 20.
Hey, says 240.
He's 280 if he's a pound.
The media guide says 240.
So I'm going with the Rangers. Their pitching stinks, but I think they'll win a lot of 11-9 games. I mean, they'll get swept in the first round of the playoffs, but I think they can win that division. What say you, Renee?
I'm going to take the Angels.
Even though I just told you 10 reasons why they stink.
Yeah, that's nice. I still think that Angels have a pretty solid team, and I expect that they will win their division.
So you're picking them in spite of their team name, Los Angeles Angels.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, Dan, who are you going with in the West?
I can't really go against a team that won the division by 21 games last year. I mean, seriously, 21 games?
Yeah, but everybody else is better. You guys don't know what you're talking
about.
Are
they better, though, really? You telling me Seattle is better than they were last
year? Seattle should have been better last year. I don't know what happened.
39 games out. They were 40 games under 500.
Dan, they got Ken Griffey Jr. What else do you want?
Oh, come on. This isn't 1989.
Look at their lineup, though. They should be fine.
I got to agree with Renee and go with the Angels.
Indy Chavez?
Angels.
Renee's discussing her picks with Keeley. Hold on, let's listen.
Go in the other room, please. I'm sorry. Other room.
See, anybody listening out there without children, this is why you don't have kids. Because it's like being in prison. Or if you're going to have one, you just have one like Dan and Kate did. That's the way to go. I mean, Cameron Keeley, I love you.
Thing about having one kid, though, is he really thinks that the entire world revolves around him. It's like there's nobody to ground him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, when he gets mad at me, he swings at me.
Well, you have to start hitting him. That's all. You got to let him know who's boss. You got to be a pack leader, Dan.
Fair enough. I'll make sure to slap him around tonight.
Simulate a bite or something.
Simulate a bite.
Oh, by the way, getting off topic, Cameron the other day, I told him I was going to simulate a bite on him, joking around, and he goes, and I laughed so bad, he goes, well, yeah, I'm going to simulate a butt. And I laughed so bad, and I texted Rich right away, and Rich
solid.
Was like, wah! So Cameron's going to simulate a butt, right,
nice.
Renee?
Yes.
Renee was not amused. Simulate a butt. Okay, let's move on to the American League Central, where...
Okay, moving on.
American League Central, I think, is wide open. Everybody's kind of just okay. I'm going to pick Cleveland.
What? You think they're just okay?
I'm picking Cleveland, but I'm not feeling good about it. I'll tell you who to watch, though.
I think the Royals suck.
No, the Royals, that's who to watch. No. You must have seen
they're
my paper.
They're making improvements on their team.
The Kansas City Royals are a team to watch. Here's why. Mike Jacobs at first. They have a solid lineup. Coco's in center. That solidifies the defense. You want to be solid up the middle. Alex Gordon, Mark Tian. They're pretty good. Alex Gordon's at third base. Mark Tian's a good second baseman. Miguel Olivo, he's a decent catcher. I think they're going to be in that division where everybody's just kind of eh. I think they'll make a run at it. I still like Cleveland to win it.
What do you like about Cleveland?
Nothing. I don't like anything about any team. I just think they have the most talent.
I like Cleveland. I think that they're a good team.
You love Cleveland for no reason.
I love Cleveland. Cliff Lee, Fabio Carmona. I think those are great 1-2 guys.
Yeah, you know who their third starter is?
Pavano.
Carl Pavano. Well, let's see if Alyssa Milano makes it out to Cleveland this year. Somehow, I don't think she will.
There are just a lot of
Darko, who is a great, a pretty solid first baseman. Grady Sizemore, love him. Mm-hmm. He's good offensively and defensively.
I mean, there's a pretty good chance that this is just because of the ALCS a couple of years ago. But there are a lot of guys on this team that I hate, that I absolutely
really?
Hate.
Who do you hate?
I hate Cabrera. Astrubal Cabrera.
Astrubal?
Why do you hate him?
I don't know. I guess I think it's just because of the ALCS. Like, I hated all them so much, and I wish so many bad things upon them.
Dan
is
unreasonable, Renee.
I am. I am completely unreasonable. A lot of guys I don't like. I really don't. I don't like Travis Hafner. I don't like his face. I don't like
I don't like Travis Hafner either. Travis Hafner is one of those Adam Dunn types. He's a big, stupid, strikeout every other at-bat guy. That it's either a home run or a strikeout, and he just looks dumb. And I think I could beat him in a fight.
I have a different opinion altogether. I think that Travis Hafner seems to be like a nice guy, and he knows what his role is on the team. And I don't think they expect too much from him.
You think guys are nice guys. He could be a complete dick, though. Why do you think he's a nice guy? I'm just saying.
I guess I'd probably base it on maybe interviews or things that I hear about media. But I also think that one of the reasons why I liked Indians probably is because we went to see them play the Sox a couple years ago. And
yeah, but the only Indian we wanted to see was Paul Byrd, and we got his autograph, and then he was a Red Sox the next year.
Yeah, but, that was Trot Nixon's first game back to Fenway, and I don't know, there's just a good vibe and atmosphere, and everybody really seemed to be good-natured and having a good time. And
you get a good aura from the Indians is what you're saying.
I did. Kelly Shopik.
I also don't like the racist mascot either, Renee. That might be a reason why you enjoy them. I'm starting to think. Dan's just stifling a laugh right now.
I'm not laughing. I don't think it's funny.
I fully expect the Cleveland Indians to take this division. I will be shocked if they do not make it to the playoffs.
I do too, but I can see any one of those teams winning that division, except for
Kansas City.
No, not Kansas City. I can see Kansas City winning.
Detroit?
Detroit,
yeah. I can't see Detroit winning. Detroit's a tire fire. And I'll tell you what, with the economy the way it is, and I'm kind of stealing from Bill Simmons here, they're going to sell off all their good players. Miguel Cabrera is gone by June from that team. They're going to trade him for 20 cents on the dollar because they have so much money invested.
Nobody's going to show up to those games.
Nobody has any money in that area.
Nobody's going to want to go play there.
Exactly.
So for this division, I think that the Indians come in first, followed by the White Sox, the Twins, the Tigers, and the Royals. That's my order.
No, I know you cheated, but I'm going to ask Dan if he knows who the latest starting pitcher for the White Sox is going to be, their fourth starter. Dan, do you know who this is?
The fourth starter?
Yeah.
For the White
Sox?
Their
fourth or fifth starter.
Man.
Bartolo Colon, Dan. That was the answer.
I did not know that.
Bartolo Colon. See if he makes it into camp. Okay, so moving on to the only division in baseball that actually matters. It's the American League East. That's where the quality teams are, where even the crappy teams could win the NL West.
No, because Baltimore, I expect to come in last.
No. It won't be Baltimore this year, even though they're terrible.
It's going to be Toronto.
It is going to be Toronto. Have you looked at Toronto's lineup and pitching, Renee?
The only team in Major League Baseball that did not sign a free agent.
They didn't sign one free agent last
year.
Nobody.
And they lost Burnett, and they didn't even pick anybody up to replace him.
Yeah, like, you know who's going to be out of Toronto by July, Renee?
Roy Halladay.
Doc Halladay.
That's correct. Roy Halladay will be out of there. And J.P. Riccardi, being from this area, you know, I hope he says, hey, Theo, how about Halladay for Clay Buchholz and some cash? What do you think?
How is he still in Toronto?
He must have, like, pictures of the Rogers brothers or whoever owns Rogers Company diddling some 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
That's the only way he still has that job. because he's not been very good.
Oh, he's been terrible.
The only good thing he did was he traded the Raul Mondesi to the Yankees way back in like 1999. That was his only good move. But really, I've gone back and forth on this a couple of times. If you go back to an earlier podcast, I might have picked Tampa Bay to win the division, but I'm going to pick the Red Sox, homerish as it may be. Their bullpen is tremendous this year. I think their bullpen's really going to carry them. The starting pitching, they have an embarrassment of riches in starting pitching. The lineup should be just good enough to get things done, even with a few injuries or if guys don't play up to their potential. I like the Red Sox. I like them to win that division by 5 games. What do you think, Renee?
I also like the Red Sox. I think they have a good group of guys. They also have some depth out there so that they can move guys around if need be. I think that Tampa Bay is definitely going to put up a fight. They have a really good team. So I think that Tampa Bay will probably take the wild card. I don't think they'll take the division.
Danny, what do you think?
I think it's too close to call.
Oh, come on. Don't be wishy-washy.
I think I have to be wishy-washy. I really do.
I told you that you could work with men.
Come on. Make a pick, Dan.
Man. I don't know. I
You can act like a man.
Come on, Dan.
As a homer pick, I guess I'll take the Red Sox, but...
All right. That's what we like to hear.
I don't know. I'm really not feeling good about saying that because I really think Tampa is going to continue to rise, and I don't think you can count out the Yankees this year. I really don't.
Well, I think people are going to see Tampa coming, whereas last year, even in September, they were waiting for them to fall. This year, people are going to be jacked up for Tampa.
They're still a good team, though.
They are still
a good
team.
Whether or not somebody sees them coming doesn't take away, you know, from the fact that they're a good team.
But I think just a team like that, they're going to have to take a step backwards at some point. I mean, Kazmir was pretty healthy last year. So was James Shields. One of those two guys is bound to get hurt. They don't really have a lot of depth at starting pitching.
I think they're all right. I mean, I think Garza's solid. And I think Price will be back
at
some point.
Price will definitely
Absolutely.
Be back. But if you look at their bullpen, their closer is Troy Percival, which means Dan Wheeler will be the closer by June 1st. Troy Percival is older than God. And he always gets hurt.
Wheeler's not that bad, though.
He's okay, but I made this argument about closers. Somebody always steps up that you don't know is going to be terrific and they dominate, but I don't think the Yankees are going to live up to the hype.
I don't think so either. I don't think they have their act together yet.
I'm trying to look at this as a non-wishing the Yankees plane would crash into a mountain point of view, which is difficult for me because I do wish that would happen. But their outfield isn't looking that great. They have Xavier Nady, Brett Gardner, and Johnny Damon. That's not a scary outfield. It's not even it's not a good defensive outfield. Their infield, A-Rod will be back around May, but he'll have to get back into playing shape. So you're probably looking at June 1st until you get the real A-Rod.
I read a report today that said he could be back in April.
Yeah, but he'll have to get back into playing shape. He'll probably go to extended spring training. That might work out, though, because maybe come October, he'll still think it's August. So he'll start. So maybe he'll play well in the playoffs. I don't know.
He does disappear like the summer, doesn't he?
He does. But look at
their around the same time too.
I don't know if you have their depth chart in front of you. Do you have that, Renee?
Yeah.
Look at the Yankees bullpen.
I know.
After Rivera, that
Marte,
falls off a cliff.
Bruni. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, by
Coke?
The way, whatever.
Really?
They have a lot of holes in their lineup. They still have a lot of needs that are not being addressed.
What are you talking about? Cody Ransom is going to be manning third base for them. What else do you need? The immortal Cody Ransom. By the way, Dan, whenever I discuss Brian Bruni, you have to say it like, I can't even remember what movie this is from. You have to go, from Ferris Bueller. Bruni! That's how you have to refer to him.
What's up with Matsui?
He has a giant porn collection. What? Have you not read that?
No, I haven't.
Google Hideki Matsui in porn and see what comes up. He has it's like Japan's most notorious pornography collection. Wow. And I got to think Johnny Damon's been borrowing it from him because he seems like a porno type of guy. Dan is Googling Hideki Matsui in porn right now. Because I don't think he believes me.
I absolutely am.
Do you remember the sign we saw during the ALCS? All it said was Matsui is ugly.
Yeah. Hideki Matsui, porn king. 55,000 porno tapes.
You thought I was lying, didn't
really?
You?
Really? Wow.
Good for him.
No wonder he blew his shoulder out or whatever it was.
That is unbelievable.
What do you think?
Oh, my God.
If I had 55,000 porno tapes, Renee, how would that make you feel?
If you had that many?
If I had, let's say I had one-tenth that. Let's say I had 5,000 yeah. porno tapes. How would that make you feel?
My main concern would be about, you know, where exactly would they go, and knowing how you are, you probably wouldn't pick up after them. The fact that you had them wouldn't bother me, but the idea of, like, just you having this massive collection of something, that would probably be a mess.
Oh, Dan just saw something he likes. Go ahead, Dan. If you have to swear, I can bleep it. Go ahead.
Oh, it was just an article in Time in the Asian edition of Time magazine talking about Matsui and his extensive library of adult videos. It says, later in the article, it says, this is a quote, "Stepping out of the hot Florida sun onto the first base dugout, he wipes his meaty, calloused hands on his towel before offering a handshake." I wonder why his hands are calloused. I really do. 55,000 porn tapes.
Here's the thing. Don't you only need, like, 3 porn tapes? I mean, unless you're really into some weird fetish. I mean, okay, you have let's say he's into different races. So he's got the black, you know, the black chick one. He's got probably an Asian chick one since he's Japanese. He's got a white chick one, maybe a Hispanic one. There's 4. Okay, maybe he's into anal. There's 5. He wants it, like, Allie wants a bukkake one. There's 6. Right. How much more do you need?
The baseball players are on the road a lot.
But, okay.
They're not on the road that much. 55,000?
Imagine being the intern for the Yankees and that's your job. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm working for the New York Yankees. This is going to be great. What do you want me to do? You see that giant trunk over there? That's Hideki's porno stash.
No, you know what? It would be a truck. You get to drive Matsui's porno truck.
If that doesn't get on the plane, you are fired, kid. Get it on the truck.
Wow.
Why is there so much Vaseline on it?
55,000.
That's fantastic. He should go in the Hall of Fame just for that. First ballot. So I forget what we were even talking about. The Yankees, their bullpen stinks. Hideki's addicted to porn. I predict the third place finish for them. And I am saying that the Blue Jays are going to finish last by a lot. But, you know, what do I know? I'm
Matsui just got married.
He did. What a lucky woman.
Wow.
Who did he get married to? A Japanese broad?
I'm going to assume his longtime girlfriend. That's what I'm seeing here. I'm looking for a name. It's from the Daily News in New York, their website here.
But Kate, yeah, you can step up to the microphone, Kate. What would you think if say you met Dan and you guys started dating, and then, you know, things are getting serious. You're like, oh, this could be something. And then one day you find the 5,000 porno tapes. What's your first thought?
Run.
Run, don't walk?
Run.
Okay. Kate a little shy. She doesn't want to talk on the microphone today. She'll have to get more used to podcasting.
He's so secretive about his wife's identity that he held up a drawing of her when he announced that he was getting married. And there's actually a picture here of him holding up this drawing. He's so secretive, he held
it's
up a
not a good drawing.
Rather than a photo at a press conference, I've decided to spend my whole life with her. He was once considered the most eligible bachelor in Japan. Man.
Most likely to have a hooker hidden in his trunk, too, I'll bet. Well, that poor. Send me that picture. Save that to the. Keep that up before you leave. I'll save it to my folder here. But okay. We'll put that on the. That'll be like the background for this podcast, the picture of Hideki Matsui's wife. The drawing, not even the picture. I bet he keeps her in like an ivory tower. You must not leave the house. You alphabetize my porn collection. This is your concubine.
And the thing that kills me about this is this whole porn thing. Yep. It's always going to be mentioned whenever you bring him up. Like right here, Matsui, also known back home for his large collection of porn films, says he and his wife have been planning their wedding for a year.
Well, you said, what's up with Hideki Matsui?
Yeah.
Did I even pause? What's the first thing I said?
No, I know.
He has a lot of porn.
But it's an article about his wedding, and they have to put that he's known for his large collection of porn films. I don't even know what to think.
That's terrific. Wow. Hideki Matsui, here's to you. I won't shake your hand, but I'll give you a fist bump if I reach.
I just pat him on the shoulder. Godzilla has taken a bride.
Okay, so my MVP for the American League, I'm going with Evan Longoria, the Tampa Bay Rays. Dan made a face. He doesn't like that pick. I think that the kid's going to be a monster. Last year was his rookie year. I can't remember his stats off the top of my head. I know he had a big year, a big second half. But I think he's just going to tear up the league now that he's used to the pitching. My Cy Young this year, Johnny Lester. I think John Lester. Last year, Evan Longoria, 27 home runs, 85 RBI. And I think that was only in 122 games. So I expect big things out of him. Johnny Lester, I think he takes the next step. He was dominant last year. I think it gets better this year. I think he's your Cy Young. And I'm taking the Red Sox to win the American League, face the New York Mets, and avenge 1986. Say Red Sox in 5 games of the World Series. Renee, what do you got?
Wow. I'm going to say that I've got Grady Sizemore at my MVP.
Mm-hmm. Dan's shaking his head.
I don't like the Indians.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And then for Cy Young, I'm going to say Roy Halladay.
Roy Halladay pitching for what if he gets traded to the National League?
Well, that could be a problem, but you know he's.
Okay, if he.
I think he's an excellent pitcher, and he definitely deserves. One of the things that amazes me about him is that he can throw these complete games and just be so dominant, and I think that. He's been overlooked some, maybe, being in Toronto.
Well, plus, he's won Cy Young, but when he gets hurt, it's always some weird flukish injury. Like when he got hit with a line drive and broke his leg. I think that was in 04 or 05. He was probably on his way to another Cy Young. They've changed the format on baseballreference.com. This took me by surprise. Last year, Halladay, 20-11, 2.78 ERA. If he does get traded, I'll give you a mulligan on that. I'll let you pick another one. At some point on the podcast. I have a feeling he's going to get traded, though. Where was he last year in Cy Young? I'll let Dan go.
Do you think he'll get traded to the National League?
I don't know. I think he'll get traded somewhere. It could be the National League, which would really mess up your AL-only fantasy team, right? Because you have, or do I have Halladay? I can't remember. One of us does.
You do. You stole him from me.
Crap, I should trade him right now.
I have John Lackey in both of my leagues. So that's awesome.
Okay, Dan, what are your picks? Go ahead.
I like Ortiz. I really do. I think he really has something to prove with Manny being gone because everybody's been saying that he can't hit without Manny.
Right.
And I think he's really, really going to go out there and he's going to do everything he can to shut all those people up. I mean, obviously, it's a big hill to climb because he's got to get over the whole DH thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't usually. But I like Ortiz. I really do.
Dan likes David Ortiz. How about for a Cy Young?
That one I hadn't given a lot of thought to, but you mentioning Lester, I think that's a great pick.
Dan's
really
going
do.
With an all-homer.
Yeah, I'm all-homer today. But, I think Lester. I like that.
Okay, Lester and Ortiz. And while Dan was talking, I looked this up. Last year, Halladay second in the Cy Young voting. Second to who won the Cy Young last year? It must not have been any Dan.
Cliff Lee did.
That's right, Cliff Lee. Oh, Longoria was the rookie of the year last year, so I think he's going to follow in Dustin Pedroia's footsteps. Oh, Renee, I didn't ask you who you liked for the AL pennant winner and World Series winner.
I don't think it's going to be the Red Sox this year.
Oh, hogwash.
I think it's going to be the Indians.
Oh, my God.
Dan's going to stop talking to me now. I'm going to go with the Indians.
I just waved you
and
off.
I think that this might be their year to win it all.
Okay, so Renee's taking the Indians over the Dodgers, you said, right?
Yeah, okay. Indians over the Dodgers.
Okay, Dan, what do you got? We got to wrap this up because this is going to check in at close to an hour.
I got to go Sox over the Cubs.
Sox over the Cubs for the World Series.
Those would be the white Red Sox.
The white Red Sox.
Over the Cubs.
I think Bill Simmons called them the Country Day Red Sox. Flying the Klan flag proudly. Should be ashamed of ourselves. All right, well, you know what that music means, kids. That means Keeley's taking the phone from Renee. It also means it's time to wrap up the podcast. This week's edition of the Sports Debacle. I want to thank my panel. Renee McIsaac, thanks for checking in on the No Name Hotline.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Dan, thanks for being here as always. Kate? Oh, I'm sorry, Dan, go ahead.
No, anytime.
We were going to talk some hockey, but we ran a little bit long. Dan's going to be back for an NHL preview of the playoffs. Kate, thanks for showing up and saying a few words.
No problem.
Kate says no problem. I don't know if you can hear that. As always, you can reach us at sportsdebacle@yahoo.com. Follow us at Twitter, twitter.com/sportsdebacle. Now let somebody with a better voice than me say exactly what I just said.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Debacle with Justin McIsaac. You can contact Justin by emailing sportsdebacle@yahoo.com.